Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 14. We will be there in just one moment. Luke chapter 14. I want to say thank you to our South Fork family for your participation this weekend with Chuck Downing's wedding. If you didn't get to come, you need to check online. They just turned this place into a beautiful wedding venue. And we just had a wonderful time getting to celebrate and enjoy that moment with Chuck and his family. And it really was a blessing. You may not know this, but this is the week of, Black Friday, yes. Thanksgiving is here. And my parents have come in. They got in last night. And so I'm very thankful for them. They have been with us online because of COVID. They've been joining our Wednesday night classes. And so that's been such a blessing, even though they live in Oklahoma. And then many of Sundays, they've been worshiping with us. And so for them and their friends that are online, thank you so much for joining. And now they're here, so I'm so thankful. I've also got my two oldest, Levi and Luke, that have come back from college, and so we have a full house again, and we're looking forward to this week, and I hope that you are as well. I also want to say thank you to our tech crew who has worked hard this week, this past week. Last week, those that are online, you know that we had a couple of snafus, and maybe we didn't know that in-house because there was a couple of panic moments just right before we went into our service. Even the projector wasn't working. Things were just causing troubles all the way around, and we were unable to be online specifically last week. But our tech crew has worked really hard, and I appreciate them for all that they have done. All right, Luke chapter 14. We are going to be talking for the next couple weeks about this invitation opportunity, the idea that God is giving us a chance to sit down or to engage with some people. And I don't know about you, present company excluded as my parents and my kids are back, but I don't know about you, but do you have some people that are coming to your house, or you have to go to their house? You have to go to their house, and it's going to be a difficult discussion. I mean, you know that politically you just don't match up. You know that environmentally or economically or religiously you just don't add up. And someone's going to say something, just one of those little barbs of why did you do, or why do you think, or why did you vote, or how do you believe? And it's just going to spark a situation that the whole family is going to wish, why did we get together for this? You don't have to raise your hand, but I imagine that some of us are going to be in that situation sometime, if not this week, sometime soon over the holidays. It is a blessing for us to be together, but I want us to think about the conversations that we're going to have. I want us to prepare for how we get to share life with one another and maybe with those that don't live or think or act like we do as we try to follow Scripture and Christ. In Luke chapter 14, read with me real quick, starting in verse 16. Luke chapter 14, starting in verse 16, it says, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. And at the time of the banquet, he sent his servants to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is ready.'" Now, if you read down through the story, the servant goes out and he comes back with a response. There are several who are in the midst of life. They have just bought a piece of property and they need to go to inspect it or take care of it. They just have a new field, a new cattle. Something is happening in their life and they are involved in that. One is involved in a marriage, and not throwing any shade towards Chuck, but they can't come back to the banquet. And as the story continues on, skip down to verse 21 with me. It says, "The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry. He ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets, into the alleys of the town, and bring in the poor, the crippled, and the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you have ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go to the roads and the country and the lane and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. Now listen to this story. This is the master who is desiring for this banquet to take place. He is seeing the opportunity to invite in, and the message goes out. I want us to understand that as Christ followers, we have been given this opportunity to be ambassadors. And sometimes the world that comes to us, the way that we interact with the world, the way that the world interacts with us is a little bit frightening or disheartening, and we want to maybe, can I say cower? We want to shy back. We want to pull away and disengage. It is much safer to come and be a part of this opportunity as opposed to sitting around your own table or somebody else's and having a conversation about God. I remember a couple years ago, my friend Mike, he was sharing with me this story of how he had been praying specifically for several of his friends. And over the course of time, he really just developed a habit of daily praying. And his daughter was in school with another young lady, and her father and Mike became good friends. And so Mike had this man on his list, and he was praying for him daily. And he decided, you know what, one of these times I need to invite him over to come have a meal with him, and let's see if we can get this friendship to move forward a little bit. So the friend and his daughter and family came over. They enjoyed a wonderful meal, and Mike said everything was just perfect. We had wonderful conversation, but every time he felt like he was about to have, hey, do you know about Jesus, kind of a conversation, he was about to turn the corner, so to speak. Something happened. A kid would spill a drink or something would kind of make a noise, and it just didn't go well, and the man and his family left. And Mike just kind of felt this burden of, I really need to change it, just from being a friend to helping them see what my faith really is about and what it could be for their life. Mike said over the next 3 weeks, a friend that he normally sees on a regular basis now was nowhere to be found. Every time that they normally would cross paths at school events, for some reason they just didn't see each other or didn't connect. And Mike really became concerned about what was going on. So he really prayed for an opportunity that God would give him to finish this conversation. I want to challenge you this morning as we think about inviting people in or being invited in. That you be specific, that you're going to pray for those relatives, those family members, those people in your life that you're going to come in contact with. Many of us already know that it's going to be a challenge to sit down with Uncle So-and-so or Aunt What's-Her-Name. Start praying right now that God will open their hearts, that God will give you words that are gracious and door-opening. Pray right now that God will help you to see them. Not as an attack, not as an obstacle, but as someone who is in need of God's mercy. Make your list specific. Give name to them and give time and preference in your schedule as you take time. Mike was doing this with his friend, this father. And about 3 weeks had gone by, and he was really just feeling this burden and desire, I want to share with him a little bit more about my faith. One day, as he went to go pick up his daughter from school, he was one of the first ones in line in the carpool lane. And Mike sat there for the first few minutes, waiting for the school bell to ring, and he just spent some time praying, God, please open up an opportunity. Well, unbeknownst to him, this friend was three or four cars back, saw Mike's car at the front, gets out of his car, comes around, and just pops down in the passenger's car or passenger seat and says, hey, Mike, I've been missing you. And Mike says, thank you, Lord. I wonder if we spend some time in prayer. I wonder if we put our heart in really where the Master's heart is, that banquet would be full. Will it change the way that we interact over these next few days or weeks? I wonder if we will recognize that we have an opportunity for this kingdom of God to stretch its borders, to be a blessing to someone else over the next few days. Would you join me in praying for workers, that we will believe, as we talked about just last week, that the fields are really white and ready for harvest, that there has been work done prior to my coming onto the scene. There's work prior coming on prior than before you came into someone's life, that God is at work in so many different ways, and the way that you now have an opportunity to share with them is going to be important, that your attitude will be ready and receptive, that we will not walk into these moments thinking that we are going to go into battle with this person or that person, but we are going in with a message of hope, a message of love, a message that is going to be a blessing to someone, and we are going to make a difference in their lives. Over the next few minutes of their conversation, as they were waiting for school to release, Mike said this man popped into his car unannounced, startled him for a moment. He said, "Mike, I've been looking for you for the last 3 weeks, and I don't know why our paths haven't crossed, but I saw you today, and I knew that I needed to talk to you. I felt like something was going on at our dinner a couple weeks ago, and it just like we didn't finish a conversation." And Mike had this chance to say, "You know what? I know this is going to sound weird, but I've been praying for this meeting for all these weeks." The best place for us to help people to see the difference in Christ, that Christ has made in our life, is going to be our table or their table or some common table. I want to encourage us to really understand that these times of fellowship is where we get to be real with one another. And at the true center of our heart is Jesus Christ, isn't it? And sometimes it's difficult for us to speak about our faith in a way that is engaging or connecting. But when we sit down for a meal, when we begin in familiar conversation and context, it helps to lower the defenses and give us a chance that is such a blessing. As we invite, or we are invited, I want to encourage you to invite freely. Scripture is just filled with a variety of stories of people who have had moments of faith, or they're seeing something unique and they are calling others to join in. This is what happens when you know of a great deal that's happening on Black Friday, you pass the word. When you know that there's a great opportunity, when the rest of the world is frantic about something and this is your little secret, you start to pass it on freely and helpfully. The same thing happens in Scripture. Andrew invited Peter to come meet Jesus in John chapter 1, verse 40 through 42. Philip invited Nathanael to come meet Jesus in John chapter 1, verse 43 through 46. The Samaritan woman, after engaging with Jesus there at the well, she invites the whole town to come meet Jesus in John chapter 4. Matthew or Levi, he gives this feast to introduce Jesus in Luke chapter 5. Cornelius, he invites his whole family and friends to come hear about the gospel. This is the intent. This is the motivation. This is the style in which Scripture has been given over time. And I don't know about you, but because of COVID, or maybe because of our culture even before COVID, maybe some of us have gotten out of the habit of inviting people into our home or finding a way to go sit down at a restaurant and really share life with somebody. I want to encourage you, if not for Thanksgiving, sometime soon, bring somebody into your home with a specific thought and mindset that you are going to build a relationship so that you can share Jesus Christ with them. Be purposeful in accepting the invitations to go and be a part of other people's lives. It may seem different than the way we've lived in the last few months, but I promise you, you will enjoy it. It is a blessing that really God has given to us. I want to encourage you. Don't be a jerk. Can I say that again? Don't be a jerk. I'm pointing all the fingers at me. Listen, God says when someone comes to Christ, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that when they come to Christ, God's not going to count their sins against them anymore. So think about this. The person that you're sitting with, is the person that just kind of drives you crazy, the person that has a thought or a lifestyle that's different than yours, God's not going to count their sin against them in just a few moments. Once they understand who Christ is, once they understand the difference that it's going to make in their life, once they start to make an exception or an accepting of Christ, then God is going to wash their sins away. Why do we want to be the last jerk in their life before that good news comes? Can I tell you, this last week I got to meet two ladies who were helping with the decoration. And I didn't know who they were. I didn't know how they were connected to Chuck and Debbie. But as time went on, especially yesterday as we were cleaning up, we finally sat down and I got to hear a little bit of their story. And they were so surprised at South Fork and South Fork family because they met so many of you yesterday or Friday when our youth were taking off for Restore. And as people would come in and go out, there were so many offers to help or encouragement for what had been done, words of love for Chuck. They said, "We've been a part of so many other churches. And it has just turned us away from them all. We don't want to be that kind of church. We don't want to drive a wedge between people that they are unable to hear the good news. The love of Christ is a free gift, isn't it? He has redeemed me and made me a new individual. There's something great about our new life in Christ. Why would I want to sit down with somebody and tear their world apart just before I give them the message of Jesus Christ, when God is going to say, your sins have been washed clean. You are a new individual." Let's picture them as that new individual as we invite them into our home or as we go into their home. Last but not least, in this point, often your friends or your family that you might think are living in the darkest of sins or in the darkest of the world, those that seem so maybe far removed from what you might consider a religious life, my experience tells me that those are the ones that often see the light the best. We may have some friends who are living kind of a facade. They want to live a pretty decent life, and they know what that is, but they also just kind of want to dabble in it, and they're kind of bouncing back and forth. There are others that are just wrapped up, that are so entangled that they know they're way off track. They don't have any idea how we're supposed to get back on track. This world is just crazy. It doesn't make sense. And so we're just going to dive headlong into it. And when you hold up this light, this hope, this restoration that is good news, their eyes turn and they come right to it. Sometimes those that are living in the darkest of worlds see the light the best. Let me just challenge you in your conversations to offer two questions, or two kinds of questions, really, that when you are engaging with somebody, really ask to connect with them. Try to find out who they are. This may mean that you're going to ask some questions that are going to dive into a political scenario that is not your political preference. This may bring you into a social issue that you really just don't desire. This may bring you into some family drama that you would just assume avoid. But when you ask these questions, when you partner into their life from their perspective, when you see their challenges and their frustrations, it connects you and it brings you into a relationship. When we start to engage on things that we have in common, and that may be even the frustrations and the difficulties of life, connections are made. So ask questions that are going to help you connect, to investigate into their life. These two ladies that helped decorate, it was easy to have a conversation with them because they were quick to say how churches hurt, how churches has been frustrated. And so I just had to ask, what happened? Well, let me tell you, this church, and off they go, and they're ready to tell exactly all the frustrations. And then all I had to do is say, Man, that hasn't been my experience here at South Fork. You should come check it out. That's a pretty easy moment. Ask to connect. Second, ask to turn the conversation. Once you've spent some time really into building a relationship, this may not happen in one meal. This may not happen in one setting. I remember a while back we were having an issue and there was a situation and one of our elders sent me a text saying, Matt, I don't think I can be helping in this situation. I haven't quite had enough time to build a relationship with this person. I don't want to just come in and bark orders or commands or demands. I want to engage them in life and walk alongside them. And I thought, how valuable and wise. And then we ask to churn. We ask to invite them into this new connection of our relationship. No one cares how much you know until they know how much you care. And so we are first going to ask questions to connect. And then second, we are going to ask questions that maybe will give us an opportunity to churn the conversation. Let me just share with you these three circles that will help you maybe to think about how simple it is to take a difficult situation and turn it into a spiritual conversation. Now again, this may not happen for every Thanksgiving meal. This may not happen right off the bat. In fact, you want to use a little bit of wisdom and when is the right time to turn the conversation. But as you think about these three circles, maybe it will give you an idea of when is the right time to bring those into being. I'm going to put up all the words there, but let me just walk with you. I ask you to draw three circles. And the first one is, as someone is describing the pain, the hurt, the frustration of their lives, as they are saying, I am in a situation that is stinky and terrible. I mean, how many of us have a friend or a coworker who we know is just going through a difficult time? It may be a separation, it may be health, it may be family related, it may just be the season of life. But we hear those complaints around the lunchroom. We hear some of these frustrations in somebody's life. And you say, can I just share with you? My situation doesn't really match up with yours, but can I share with you how I've dealt with those times in my life? Yeah, I guess so. I don't have any idea how I'm supposed to get my marriage back together. I don't have any idea how I'm supposed to work with my kids. I don't know how we're supposed to get our company back on track. Yeah, if you got something, help me. You draw this first circle and you say, this is God's design. When you look back at the very beginning, God designed everything to be perfect and fit together. There was supposed to be this peace and unity and harmony of all things. And I truly believe that that was God's design. But somewhere along the way, in my life in particular, things started to break. I know that I started to choose things that just weren't going in the right direction. And the more I tried to fix my relationship or tell my wife what to do or get the business back on track or stop these situations from happening, the harder I tried to fix all of this brokenness, the worse it got. And you can almost see the person across the table kind of nodding their head. Yeah, we've all been there, right? Right? I mean, we've all lived through this. God designs us to be something in harmony, but then brokenness comes. And we chase after that. But let me tell you, the good news is that when I finally realized this gospel message, and then this is the third circle that you put, that Christ came to the earth, and here's an arrow coming down. Here's the cross, the message of Christ, and then the arrow coming back, that there's hope of a new life, that God's message is that we can be redeemed from our brokenness. It changed my whole perspective. The things that I thought I was chasing after were so myself, but it only brought more brokenness. But when I saw what Christ's message really was, it changed who I was and how I was living. And now we got an opportunity to pursue after what God's original design was. And in 2 minutes, you have given just a quick overview that has recognized their struggle and their pain. It has connected you with them because your struggle and your pain, your brokenness is relatable. Misery does love company, don't we? But yet it brings hope. It brings promise of redemption and grace. It changes our focus from self-defeat and continual destruction towards new and renewed life. So your third question is, does this little simple diagram make sense? I mean, you can draw it out on a napkin. You kind of just imagine this real quick. It's three circles, and it doesn't take all that long to talk about. Does this diagram make sense? And if there's anything that didn't seem clear, they're going to ask a quick question, or they're going to steer clear of this conversation, and instantly you will know you're going down the right track or not. And if they say, yeah, this makes sense, or if they're asking for clarity, then you ask this fourth question. Where would you see yourself in this? And in very quick order, you have turned the conversation from just the typical mundane football or family or politics or gripey religion to something that is connected in the struggles of life. There's a story of a professor, art professor, who had this pottery class. On the first day of class, he had the class divided into two. And on one side, he said, okay, your requirement for this class is to make one pot perfect. You have all semester. You don't need to turn anything in. You don't have to do anything else, but just turn in one pot. The other half of the class, he turned and said, okay, your requirement is, I don't care what your pots look like, you need to make 50 pounds of pottery this semester. Turn in 50 pounds of pottery pots. And the professor found that over the course of the semester, those that were aiming for perfection, they never really completed any project until the very end. And when they turned in their final pot, it wasn't quite as good as these people who had been practicing and trying over and over and over again. I know sometimes when we talk about sharing our faith, it feels like this is what the preacher does, or this is what the elders do, or this is what those people that we hold in high regard, and we just disregard the actual practice. We wait for that perfect moment. We wait for all the words to just fit right and all these things, and that just is never the case. Over the next few days, you're going to be engaged in family and friends. You're going to be in office parties and a variety of different events. How can you take time to steer the conversation so that the master's house is full? See, the master sent out his servants for this banquet, and he desires that all will come to know him. But unless we speak, they will not know. We've talked about this for the last couple of weeks, that the God of this age has blinded the world. And unless we are faithful servants who are willing to step out in faith, to change our casual relationships into something that will be significantly better, this world will miss out on the greatest news. I walked out of here last night just so thankful for our family, the wedding, but most of all, I was thankful that I got to meet two ladies that I had never known who were so frustrated about church, and I don't even know what kind of churches they were, that they didn't even want to take this responsibility of organizing a wedding because it was going to bring them back inside a church building. But as we had the chance just to talk about shared pain,
shared life, and really the hope of life. Maybe one day they'll walk into this church building, they'll join in with God's family, and their lives really will experience the joy of being in God's kingdom. There is a banquet that our Father, the Master, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, desires for all to share in. This is good news. This is gracious gift. Let us share that in this time of thanksgiving and celebration. Let's not shy away from what is the best for our world. I hope this week is going to be a blessing for you as you get a chance to engage in family and friends. If there's any way that we can pray for you, if times are not so sweet and encouraging you for you this week, our office is open. Come and let's share time of prayer and study. Our elders would be willing to spend time with you on the phone or connect with you. I know that many within this family would love to spend time sitting at a Starbucks and sharing the tragedies and challenges of life together so that we don't struggle in this world alone. If there's anything that we can do in helping you in this journey, please, would you make it known today? If you want to dedicate your life to Christ, our baptistry is ready for that. If there's any way that you need to live for Christ, to be that faithful servant, I pray today you will make that known. Let's stand together and sing this song. Lord.